Blog Talk Radio.
Some of the guests on this podcast will express their viewpoints based on their own research, and those views aren't necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, Cursed Net, Breakthrough Radio, or its affiliates. This podcast will also be available on iTunes under the keyword Cursed Net. You're listening to Cursed Net Breakthrough Radio. Thank you for listening in. It is November 17th, 2008. I'm Greg Messina. Byron could not be with us tonight due to a blood clot in one of his legs. Our prayers do go out to Byron, and I do hope he recovers soon. We would like to remind those of you out there who may have had demonic encounters on any level and feel violated or alone, or may have seen UFOs or thinks they have been abducted, please don't hesitate to contact us by going to the website, thecursednet.com. There is also help within Joe Jordan's group, who we will be interviewing tonight. His group is CE4 Research, and you can contact him at CE4Research.com. Our guests this evening are Joe Jordan from CE4 Research Group, and we have along with him Bill Defendahl, who is a former abductee who contacted Joe after feeling he needed answers as to what happened back in 1977. He will be sharing his testimony with us tonight. And we will be accepting calls, but only until the first half hour for anyone who wishes to ask these gentlemen any questions. That call-in number is area code 646-716-9105. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. Joe?
Good evening, Greg. Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Joe, please tell us how you got started in this field.
Well, that goes back to about 1992. I kind of opened the door into this UFO phenomenon. I was on a vacation trip to Alaska to visit my brother, who was in the Air Force stationed in Anchorage, and I was flying out of Orlando, because I live here in Florida, and I saw that I had a 10-hour flight. And I knew that I had to pick up something to read for a 10-hour flight. And it was in cruising the bookstore there at the Orlando airport. I came across one particular book that caught my attention. And it looked like a science fiction book to me. I was an avid science fiction reader when I was growing up. And I thought, this looks like a good read. But when I turned the back of the book and looked to see what this book was about, it stated that it was not just a story about research, but actually science fact based on the research that these people had done. And this book was titled UFO Crash at Roswell. And I read that book on that vacation trip that I was on, and it absolutely consumed me. And it wasn't in a matter of a couple weeks, I had to know more about the UFO phenomenon. And like I said, that was back in the summer of 92. And within the next year, I had made contacts with people in the Orlando area who were members of MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, became a MUFON member, and eventually became a MUFON field investigator. And then they told me that, you know, there's no set up, no organization over in Brevard County by the Space Center where you're located. Would you be interested in taking charge of your county? And I said, well, that would be interesting, and I could have my own group, my own investigators. So I became a state section director for Brevard County, Florida, which I have been since 1994. And that means I'm in charge of my county. When sighting reports come in to this area, MUFON directs them to me and my investigators, and we follow up on sighting investigations. And that's pretty much how I got into it. But to bring me to where I am today, one of the requirements of being a MUFON state section director is that you hold monthly meetings for the public, that they can come and hear about the reports you're working on and share their stories. And you can offer movies to watch or videos or conference talks, share, you know, books in the UFO phenomenon that are out. And we started doing that on a monthly basis. And something interesting happened when we started holding these monthly meetings, because coming into this as an agnostic and trying to come into it from a scientifically based perspective, which was what MUFON is all about, I was unprepared for the type of people that were going to start showing up at these meetings. And the people that would come to these meetings, being it was open to the public, was quite an array of different belief systems and ideas dealing with this UFO phenomenon. And I wasn't really prepared for that. And as we held these meetings, I started listening to some of the stories these people had. And one of the things that MUFON had warned me about in the beginning was when you hold these meetings, try to stay away from the New Age metaphysical part of it, because these people will come to these meetings, but you really can't bring that into the scientific perspective. And as I listened to these people and the stories that they had, I thought to myself, you know, to be an honest researcher, you can't just say, I'm not going to listen to what these people have to say because it's different. I saw, the more I listened to their stories, that they were still part of this UFO phenomenon, the New Age and the metaphysical realm. And it wasn't long before I started researching the metaphysical realm and the New Age realm, and even right after that, I actually stepped wholeheartedly right into it myself. And I guess it was because at that time in my life, there was something missing, and the New Age metaphysical realm, being sort of a spiritual realm, kind of filled that hole for me. So over the next 4 years, still being a MUFON investigator and still dabbling in the metaphysics and New Age, I was kind of looking at the UFO phenomenon from two different perspectives at the same time. And then eventually by 1996, I was actually introduced to Christianity through one of my researchers that I was working with, and eventually became a Christian, a born-again believer in 1996. So I've had the opportunity to look at the UFO phenomenon from three separate distinct perspectives, one being an agnostic, one being involved in the New Age metaphysics, and then one being as a Christian. So I've got a lot of input over the years from different points of view on what this phenomenon is about. And I do believe that now as a Christian, I've been able to actually grasp what this phenomenon is about.
Joe, for those listeners who are not, they do not know too much about this field, tell them what MUFON really stands for.
MUFON is the Mutual UFO Network. MUFON is the largest grassroots organization for UFO investigations in the world today. There are over 5,000 members worldwide, which consist of your field investigators at the very grassroots level, you know, through each county and even some of the other countries, right on up into the PhD consultants that we have working with us that are available to work, you know, to help us if we have any questions in any of the cases that we're working on. They've been around since 1969, and they've been compiling a database of UFO sightings since 1969. And I got to say, here it is 2008, and they still don't have an answer for exactly what we're dealing with. But through the work that I had done dealing with MUFON, I guess it was about 1994, my investigators and I were sitting at a meeting, and we were discussing what we had been dealing with, you know, doing sighting investigations. And, you know, sighting investigations, I have to tell you, once you've done them for a while, it's like chasing your tail. And that's the way the whole UFO phenomenon is. I mean, how many sighting reports can you do before you realize you're not getting anywhere? It's the same old thing over and over. Fuzzy pictures, fuzzy videos, you know, stories of what people are telling you, but no real hard evidence. And it was looking at this phenomenon and stepping back and looking at what we've been working with and listening to the people coming to the meetings that one of the investigators brought up the idea, you know, we need to get closer to the source of this phenomenon. And we realized that there was a source that was closer, you know, that we could get closer to. And that was the people who were claiming that they were alien abduction experiencers or contactees. These people were actually in contact or had been in contact with the entities that supposedly pilot these UFOs. So we focused our work toward that avenue, dealing with the abduction experience. We wanted to get closer to the source itself to try and get an answer to what this phenomenon is about. So in 1994, along with being involved in MUFON, we formed CE4 Research Group. And CE4 Research Group, Alien Abduction Investigative Group, CE4 stands for Close Encounter of the Fourth Kind, which is abductions. And we had to set up as a separate group because at the time MUFON wasn't in a position to investigate the abduction phenomena. They were strictly dealing with nuts and bolts, sighting investigations. So we set up a separate organization to be able to keep our work separate from MUFON. Yet MUFON was welcome to our work at any time, you know, that they would like to look at it. So CE4 took off at that point, and we're still in existence today. We're still doing alien abduction investigations. But over the years, the findings that we're getting from the cases that we worked with has led us to something quite spectacular.
Now, the Cursed Net, which is co-authored by Byron LeBeau and Richard Stout, does go into this aspect of what you believe it to be. Could you touch up on that subject matter of how you did the research and how you ended up segueing into understanding it from a spiritual perspective instead of an interplanetary perspective?
Well, being in the New Age and the metaphysics for the time that I was in it, I knew there was some type of spiritual connection, but we just weren't sure what that spiritual connection was. We didn't have a name for it. We didn't know the source of these entities, if they were spiritual in nature. We didn't have a source of where they were coming from or what their purpose was. And in 1996, right before I became a believer, I was dealing with a couple cases that were kind of dark in nature. And one of the researchers I was working with, actually she was my girlfriend at the time, and I had her working with my investigations because a lot of the people that we work with in the abduction phenomenon are women, and a lot of the stories that you hear from them are quite personal, and it was good to have another woman doing that part of the investigations for us. It made the experiencer a little more comfortable to share what they had gone through. And this girlfriend that I had at the time and fellow researcher was a Christian, and she was putting up with my New Age things that I was dealing with, but at the same time kind of keeping an eye on what we were dealing with. And these two cases we were working on, I was sensing something that was very dark about these two cases, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but obviously she was getting something very strong about these two cases. And she pulled me aside one day and she said, "You know, I think you need some protection when you're working around this type of work." She says, "I think you're in some kind of danger, possibly, you know, dealing in this realm, and you should have some kind of protection." Well, as a New Ager, you know, I said, "Well, I've got all sorts of protection, you know," and I pull out my handful of my rocks that I keep in my pocket.
Right.
Each one has its own power.
Sure.
And she says, "No." She says, "I mean real protection." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she breaks the Bible out, and she says, "I think you should take a look at this." And I said, "No, that's got nothing to do with what I do here." And she says, "Well, I think it does, and I think you should take a look at it." And I said, "No, that's, you know, as a New Ager, we didn't accept the Bible or, you know, being the inerrant word of God or some good stories in it you might want to live your life by." But she says, "Wait a minute." She says, "Are you telling me you don't want to look at this?" And I said, "No, I don't think it pertains to what we do." And she said, "Well, let me put it this way." She says, "You always tell people you're the most objective, open-minded investigator around." And I thought, oh, boy, she just caught me. So I had an opportunity to be shown the gospel in a way that I had never seen it before. And we sat and we looked at what the word said, and she took me through some major parts in there dealing with spiritual warfare and dealing with the gospel message itself. And it was like something miraculous happened. And I said, "You know, I want that type of protection." And it was right there in November of, wow, this is the anniversary, as a matter of fact. It was this month, actually this weekend, in 1996, that I gave my life to Christ. Right
oh,
there
wow,
in
look
her,
at that.
Her,
look at that.
Exactly, yeah. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Right there in her living room. And in the next week, I went to my parents' church, not knowing which church to go to, and I figured what better witness to do it in front of them, you know, and I made an altar call and was baptized in their church and became a Christian. But as an investigator, I still had these wonderings, now what was I? I've been an agnostic. I've been in the New Age. What's a Christian? You know, and I wanted to know right away, real fast, and as much as I could learn. And I went through a Bible study course within the next couple of weeks after being saved. And we had 2 weeks off at Christmas time for my job that I do. And I went through an intense Bible study course. And it was during this Bible study course, it was a video course. And we were sitting in this fellow's house watching 2 hours of video a night, you know, night after night till the course was done. And the guy that was giving the course on the video came to a point in the course where he mentioned something about spiritual warfare. And I thought, wow, you know, spiritual warfare, that sounds cool. And he went on to read a particular scripture, and it was Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realm. And that moment that I heard that scripture in its entirety, I had a vision. And, you know, when I was in the New Age, they're all about visions and messages and channeling and all of that. But I never had that experience when I was in the New Age. I'd seen it and been around it, but never personally had it. But here I was, a Christian, sitting on this couch watching this video and hearing that scripture, and I had a vision. And it was a vision of the alien gray right in front of my face.
Whoa.
And in an instant, the alien gray's face morphed into the most horrific thing I had ever seen in my life. And I knew at that moment that what we'd been dealing with was not something that we should be dealing with, that it was a facade. It wasn't real. It was deception. And I knew who was behind it. In that moment, I knew that I knew that I knew. And I told my partners, I said, you know, we're done with this. We need to get out of this work that we're doing and move on. And they agreed. And about a month went by, and I felt this tugging at me and saying that, no, you're not done. And I said, Lord, if that's you talking, I said, I am done. I said, I don't need to be dealing with this. And he says, no, I need you to take this message back to where you came from. You know the truth now. And I said, Lord, I can't take the Bible back to where I came from. They don't believe the Bible to be the inerrant word of God. They don't believe it to be true. And, you know, as a new Christian, I didn't know you shouldn't talk to God like that, but I did. And I said, you got to give me something better than that. And I thought that would hold him off, you know. He'll leave me alone now. And about another couple weeks went by, and then there he was again. And he says, you already have what you need. I said, Lord, what do you mean? I already have what I need. And go back and look at the tapes. So we did. I took my one partner that I'd founded CE4 with, and I said, you know, we must have something here, and I want to go back and look at some of the interviews we've done. And we went back to this one particular interview we'd done 6 months before I became a believer. And we listened to it, we watched the video. It was a two-hour tape, and it was a person who was an experiencer, and they were telling us their story. And, you know, we must have been blinded and deaf when we listened to that man talking in his living room, giving us that testimony of his story, because I don't remember any of it after I watched the tape. And I thought, my God, it's all right here. But we were blinded and deafened to where we couldn't hear it or see it. And I thought, Lord, this is it. This is what we can take back to these people. This is evidence. And this was my first case. This was Bill D's case. And Bill D was the person that was in that living room giving his testimony. And in his testimony, he shares a story about an encounter he had one evening, which was a typical alien abduction experience, where during the traumatic experience, which horrified him and terrified him, he called out in fear in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. And it immediately stopped. Immediately and abruptly terminated the experience.
Wow.
Well, you know, that had never been heard of in the UFO realm. Never publicized, never talked about, never written about. I knew what I had was real, but I questioned why I'd never heard this before. And my next step was to verify what I had. I mean, I knew what I had, but I wanted to verify it with other researchers. And I talked to some of the top researchers in the country and asked them, you know, about this particular case. I said, I've got a case here I'm not sure of. I want to share it with you. And they said, okay, please do. And I went on to share Bill's story. And once I got done with the story, every time these researchers, these secular researchers that I was talking to, the top in the realm, would ask me, can we go off the record? Meaning I can't tell you who they are, but I can tell you what they said. And I said, sure, we can go off the record. Just help me out here. You guys have been at this for years. You've worked with hundreds of cases. Have you ever come across this? And they said, yes, we have. Each one said they had encountered this before. And my question was, why have you not written about it? Why have you not spoken about it? Why have you not shared this?
Right.
Because we're relying on you for the truth. And one of two answers came out of them. One was, well, we didn't know what to make of it. And then the second one that I usually hear from them was, we didn't want to go there because it might affect our credibility in the realm. Well, I thought to myself, you know, this is a cover-up. You know, we hear about cover-up about the government over and over in the UFO realm. Mm-hmm. But this was a cover-up of research that these researchers actually had, and now I had stumbled across. Well, I told these guys, I said, you know, I appreciate you listening to me and helping me out and let me know this is not an independent case by itself. And it gives me an avenue to go and further do my work. And I said, I know there's more cases there because you're verifying that. And I'm going to go find these cases. And I'm going to give these people an opportunity to share this story because I know there's more out there. And that's the work that CE4 has been doing since 1997. And I've worked with over 300 to 350 cases since then, and they're all testimonies, victorious testimonies of people being able to stop the experience, and not only stop the experience, but to be able to terminate the experience from their life. And it all started with that one case from Bill D. And Bill D. has a powerful testimony.
Well, we have him with us tonight, don't we?
And you have him with us tonight.
Okay, good. Good.
I'm here.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. Nice to be on.
Yes.
And Bill's
got
a powerful story because Bill didn't get it right away when we shared this with him. Actually, it's taken me 10 years to finally get to where Bill has actually come to where he fully understands what this is about. And he's had a miraculous change in his life just recently that's convinced him exactly what this is about, to the point where Bill is now one of the living testimonies I bring on stage. And I had Bill, for the first time, go public this year at the Roswell 2008 conference in July. I was the director of the conference. I had the opportunity to put the whole conference on, plus I was a speaker, along with David Ruffino, who shared the talk with me. And I brought up living evidence at the end, and Bill was one of those living evidence up on that stage. The only evidence today that confirms who these entities are is these living testimonies that have been able to stop this experience. It gives light on who these entities actually are. There's no other evidence, no smoking gun in the UFO realm today.
Wow. Well, you know, I was just thinking of your vision, Joe, and it is almost identical to Richard Stout's vision of this gray he saw in his bedroom one night, and it gave him this really nasty look, and I believe I have this correct that he did cast it away in the name of Jesus, but you know it was to the point where I mean it's almost exactly identical to what you were describing. So you know there are other people out there who's seeing the same thing, and you know it's like saying to someone, are you seeing the same dream as myself? I mean, it cannot be. It just cannot happen. So there is living proof, living testimonies out there. And Bill, you are one of those people. Please tell us how you tell us a little bit about how you got started with or how these things came into your life and when they started coming into your life.
Well, ever since I was a young child, I've had a feeling that been interest in different things and paranormal and things like that. But I think going through some history and things like that, I found out that my great-great-grandfather was a very high-degree Knight Templar, and I believe that has something to do with opening some doors or something, because I can remember experiences and things that I called bad dreams that I had when I was a young child about these lights coming to take me away.
Now, Knights Templar, that goes along the Freemasonry line, is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, you have to be, I think, a 32nd or 33rd degree Mason to become a Templar.
Okay.
It's up there pretty high. But I just accidentally stumbled upon that because nobody would ever tell me anything about my great-grandfather or grandmother. I didn't know anything about them, and I happened to find out doing a family tree search. I happened to find out that he was a Templar, during the Civil War era, I guess.
Right. So you believe this is connected to... Yeah,
I believe now that I look back on it, I can see the connect, and since I've done more study and things like that, I can see how it's connected, how doors are opened, even generational, where someone in past generations, we talk about the generational curses in the Bible and things like this, I can see how doors are opened and then that curse follows the generations down until something is done to break the curse. And I think that this might have possibly been very instrumental in what had happened to me over the years. And then in my experience in 1977, I had just gotten involved. I was born and raised Catholic, and I had just started going to a Baptist church, and just started to get into that. It was right after that I had started going to this Baptist church and everything. At that time, I don't believe that I had actually had a profession of faith or anything, but I was going and I had noticed different things going on. But right during that period of time was when my experience happened, and that's when I called on the name of Jesus. I believe at that time that was when I was saved, when I called out on the name of Jesus, and this experience stopped.
Wow, praise God. Well, you're married. You have children.
Yes, I'm married. I have I'm previously divorced. I have two children by my first marriage, and I have two stepsons by my second marriage. And then I have eight grandchildren, four with my daughter in Texas and four here in close to the Space Center here from my stepsons.
Mm-hmm. Joe, do you – I'm sorry, Bill, do you
– go ahead.
Do you share this information with your family? Are they aware of it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say that sometimes they look at me like I'm a little crazy, but what I try to share with them more than anything else now is my faith. I can look back over the years and I can see where when God was trying to pull me in and trying to show me what things were going on, that I had kind of pushed it away and everything, and then with the experience with my son and his terminal, he was diagnosed with bone cancer, and the doctors all gave us a very traumatic, it was going to be very terrible and everything. And then I had an experience where I called out again. And I guess this was actually the second time, because I felt like this was like a lowest point in my life, and I called out to God again, and I cried out to God, and he literally, my expression is, he hit me in the head with it, because I immediately knew that God was with me and he was going to help in this thing. And then my son, the doctors were saying, well, we don't understand this, because when we opened him up and looked, we were seeing this cancer, and then it wasn't there. I mean, it was there, but it wasn't cancer. And the doctor says, I'm a bone cancer specialist. I know these things. I know what it is, and I know what it looks like.
Wow.
And he said, when I opened him up, my heart sank. He said he took a piece, sent it to the lab, and it come back benign. He said, there's no way. And he took it again, took another piece and sent it, come back, and it was benign. He says, we can take care of this. And then he told me, he said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep on doing it. And then that's when I told him that we had people all over the world praying for Josh. So,
wow, that's incredible.
And he said, well, keep on doing it. And it's during that period of time that I started looking back again onto things in my past, and it just clicked that where Joe and Wes had came and tried to tell me, say, hey, look what we've got here for you, you know, and I didn't want to accept that at the time. I still wanted to believe in aliens and, you know, there's something else going on out there, but really, I knew after this experience with God, I knew it's just like I asked God for three things. I asked God, I said my statement was the night that I cried out to God. I said, God, I must be stupid or something. You're going to have to hit me in the head with it because I just don't get it. The first thing I asked for, I said, I'm very, very down. I'm at the lowest point in my life because what was going on with my son. I said, I've never felt this low before. You're going to have to give me some encouragement. The second thing I asked for was, what do you want from me? Just what is it that you want from me? And the third thing I asked for was, how do I talk to my son? And at that very moment, it felt like something came over me to, like, it's just like, what I usually tell people in my testimony is I felt like God just touched me and said, okay, Bill, here's what it's like to be with me. Just a little touch. And I had so much peace. It is like I knew at that moment everything was going to be all right with Josh, even though all the doctors and everything were telling us horrible things. And at that moment, my hand flew over to my Bible, which my wife had asked me to look at some Psalms a lady had told me to read, and I hadn't looked at my Bible in years. Well, my hand flew over, and I didn't do it. It wasn't one of those things where you think about, and you know, you think, oh, I'm just going to slip the Bible over and see if there's something there for me.
Mm-hmm.
That thought never crossed my mind at all. All at mm-hmm. that, in that instant when this was happening to me, my hand flew over and threw my Bible open and stopped in the middle of the page, and I
mm-hmm.
pulled it over. And right underneath my fingers, I read the words, I will not leave you or forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the answer to my first question I asked God. I asked him for, so you're going to have to give me some encouragement. And I was so excited about that, I jumped up, went in, and I was crying, trying to tell my wife and everything about what was going on. And finally, she understood what I was trying to say. And then I went back and tried to talk to my son, and he just looked at me and said, oh, yeah, right, Dad, I believe that. But, you know, he just didn't get it at all either. But I took my Bible to work with me the next day, and I was sitting at lunchtime, and a little voice came into my head and said, Bill, you have a study Bible. Why don't you look and see if there's something else for you? Well, I never take my Bible to work, but I had it there with me that day. And I opened it up, and I looked, and I just about fell out of my chair when I saw the first reference that it went to. And it was Joshua 1, 5 through 9, and that's basically God telling us to keep his commandments. I didn't put it together really right then, but that was the answer to my second question that I asked. I said, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And he answered that question. And then I was sitting there shaking, about to cry, didn't want anybody to see me at work, and fiddling through my Bible trying to get to the second verse, and it went back to First Chronicles. And the first thing I read was King David talking to his son Solomon, telling him, do not be discouraged, do not be dismayed, that nothing is going to happen to you until your work gets done. And I couldn't have done that. That was a miracle in my life. And that right there was what brought me back around and to look at what had happened to me back in 1977 and how Christ was there, how God was there for me when I called out to him. And and it answered a whole lot of questions and gave me a whole lot more peace about a lot of things. And basically that's where I'm at now. And I got in contact with Joe, and I told him, I said, hey, I get what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about now, and I'd like to come forward and tell my story and come out publicly. And he told me, he said, well, he said, you're already out there. And then he told me about, you know, how the Rita Elkins article had gone around the world and different things, and that a lot of people had gotten.
Yeah, Bill's testimony has actually been written about by, at this point, 11 different authors in 11 different books.
Wow.
And in numerous magazine articles and interviews that I've done. So over the past 10 years, without Bill even knowing it, he's reached hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, if not more, from that one little testimony, the first piece of evidence to show who these entities are and what they're up to.
Well, I'm not surprised. It's an incredible testimony. And, you know, it does show, you know, to the listeners out there, you know, this goes beyond just faith. What we're really talking about here is a relationship, isn't it?
Exactly.
Absolutely. And it's not a magic word for people that are listening that might be going through this experience and thinking, well, maybe I'll try that. This is not an abracadabra type magic word that you would use in this type of encounter. This comes from the authority given to us as believers comes from that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, making him your Lord and Master in your life and building a personal relationship. And it's like a personal relationship no different than Bill and I have built together over the years. You know, and it can be that personal, and God asks that it be that personal. And that personal relationship is where that authority comes from, and keeping his commandments. And you'll want to do those things. You know, it's not out of works, but you'll want to do those things for him. And being able to share your testimony. Because the one thing that I found, and even Scripture talks about it, it says to reach the lost is through the Word of God and your testimony. And I always had the Word of God I could take back to this realm that I had come from, but it was the testimony that I didn't have. And I actually had my own testimony because I've been through an experience myself. And it was becoming a believer that set me free from the oppression of dealing with the New Age and the metaphysic realm. And then here I had Bill's testimony, and now here 11 years later, I've got 300 to 350 testimonies. And when I do these talks, it's like, how many does it take for you to understand that there is a power in that name? How many testimonies do you need to hear or read about? I mean, I have close to 70 of them posted on my website, that they're there for you to read. And I brought 8 of them down to Roswell for that UFO conference at Roswell this year. Had them on stage right there where everyone can see them. They could touch them. They could ask them questions. Nobody did, but I did bring them there to show that these are real. This is real evidence. This is not fuzzy pictures. This is not fuzzy videos. This is the real thing. These people have lived through this and have been set free from it.
So what do you say to these people, let's say at the Roswell conference, that think there could possibly be other life forms out there? What would you say if I was someone who's lost and I say, Joe, there, you know, don't you believe there has to be some other life out there other than us and possibly visiting this planet?
Well, you know, that's almost, when you really sit down and look at that question you just asked, it's almost apples and oranges compared to what we're dealing with. Because what we're showing is that the entities that claim that they are here, that they are from somewhere else, are not who they say they are. We have the evidence to show that. So is there anything else out there? I don't believe so. And then that question always comes up. How can you say that when this universe is so vast? Well, something I've learned from the Word of God is that that universe was made just for us. The whole vast universe was made for us. He did that for you, for me, for Bill, and for every one of your individual listeners. This is called the awe factor, so that we would be in awe of such a great and personal relationship and this God that we have that loves us to no end. This is the awe factor. This huge universe is empty, but it's all the beauty for us. And this is what this enemy wants to take away from us. This is what these entities want to take away. Because in the message that you hear from these entities, whether it be through the abductees or through the contactees, it's always anti-Bible, anti-Christ, anti-God. And you have to question, why would these entities, if they were extraterrestrial, come all the way across this universe to come after one religion when there are so many religions in this world, and none of them are even agree on each other, but they come after just one? But those others do agree with each other in one aspect, that they are all anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible. So that's a major red flag that comes up. That right there tells us the source of these entities and what they're up to.
Well, you know, again, I'm let's say I'm someone who's lost, and I say, well, why would these things, want to do experiments on me?
What's the agenda?
What is their agenda?
Their agenda, and Michael Heiser has made a good comment about this, and he wrote the book called The Facade, and that pretty much tells us that what we're dealing with here and what we're seeing with these entities is just a facade. Because what their purpose is in the end run is to take our eyes off the true living God. When you become involved with this experience or any of the New Age or metaphysically related experiences that go along with this UFO phenomenon, it always takes you away from the focus on the one true creator of the universe and his son, Jesus Christ. I'm living testimony of that. Bill's living testimony of that. Even though that first experience, he knew that name stopped that experience, he still spent 10 years dabbling and looking for answers other than God. But when it came down to the final end, God was his answer. That's their purpose, is to change our perception. It's a brainwashing that they're perpetuating. And that is the purpose, that is the agenda of these entities, to take us away from the one true God. We believe that this is possibly part of what is called the end time delusion, that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. And we are seeing people of high caliber intelligence and study and research being deceived by this experience. And it just takes that one moment to let yourself be honest and say, God, show me the truth. And that comes all the way back to Jeremiah 33:3. Very important scripture. It says, you want to see the things that are unknown? Ask me, and I will show them to you. Don't ask an entity that you don't know where it comes from or the source that you don't know what source it's from. Go to God himself. He will show you the truth. And that's what's happened with these experiencers that have been set free. God has shown them the absolute truth.
May I jump in here for a minute? I'd like to say that what it takes is what I was willing to do that night, that with my experience with my going through what my son was going through and everything. I think what it takes is basically I was hitting rock bottom again. It's kind of like being an alcoholic or a drug addict or something like that. You deny it until you hit rock bottom, and then you make the decision. And that decision I made that night was, I'm going to commit to God. I'm going to commit. I'm going right straight to the source here, and I'm going to commit to him. And you know, and I told him, I said, you know, I've tried to live a good life. I tried to do what I'm supposed to do, but there's got to be more to this, and I just don't get it. So you're going to have to hit me in the head with it. And at that moment, that was my commitment to him, saying that I'm giving myself really, totally. Now, I believe, like I said before, in 1977 I was saved, but it took all those years of going through the things that I did and the growing and going through everything that I did to get to that point where I had to actually make that commitment to God. And once I made that commitment to God, then he started opening these things up to me and showing me, you know, the different things. And
he got his answers.
And I'm getting answers every day. Every day. All I have to do is ask, and if I pray in Christ's name, he'll show me what I need to know. It's amazing. And people, a lot of times people are afraid to make a commitment to Christ, a commitment to God, because they think they're going to be giving up something or something like that. They just don't know the freedom, the absolute knowing that you are what you're supposed to be and not some thing that you're trying to make yourself into. You know, that you're actually allowing the Holy Spirit to work within you to make you into the person that you're supposed to be. And there is such, I'm getting goosebumps just sitting here thinking about it, because that's what it does to me. It gives me that freedom to be able to openly go up and tell people that I'm a Christian and not be ashamed of it. And that's what happens a lot of times with professing Christians.
A major difference in this experience as a Christian compared to the experience of being involved as an abduction experiencer or a contactee is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have free will. You freely can ask and he will come in. Where dealing with the abduction experience or contactee experience, you're taken against your will. That's absolutely done against your will. And you become part of a bondage to these entities where you are not in control. You've lost control. It destroys families. It is a horrific experience. Families have been torn apart by it. People have been on the verges of suicide, not being able to deal with the experience. So it's such an opposite when these people have gone from being part of that to being set free by the name and authority of Jesus Christ. The peace that comes across them, that is the evidence itself on what this experience is about and who's behind it.
All right, guys. Well, let's say I'm someone who has not been saved, and I want in. I want to accept Jesus in my heart. How do I do that? Do I go right to church? Do I go into the Bible? Or do I seek his kingdom first? What do I do?
You seek his kingdom first. And it's real simple. And it's just you talking to him, saying, Lord, I know I've sinned. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've not been focused on you. And I know I've not made a commitment to you. And at this point in my life, I want you to be my Lord and Master. I believe that you died on the cross for me to set me free. I believe that you rose from the dead and you sit on the right hand of God. And I want you to be my Lord and Master. That's it. That's all it takes to be set free. You say that in honesty and in faith that he's there for you. And in that moment, you've been entered into the book of life. You've been set free, and you're on the first step to being set free from this experience. It's that simple. But I tell you, because I came from the other side, it's the hardest thing you could do in your life, because these entities have an influence on us that is so powerful. Without Christ in our life, that is one of the hardest things to do in your life, is to turn away from the power of these entities. But yet, at the same time, it's the easiest step to take.
I agree with that 100%. I believe that that even, as I said, it took years for me to actually understand, you know, what it was, and the power that all this had over me was, you know, getting me to look into other things and not look at really what I was given that night. You know, I was given a gift that night that I was with Christ. He stopped this thing from happening to me. And then it took all these years before I actually come to realize. I know one thing that I'd like to say real quickly is shortly after this last experience I had with my son and everything and the miracle, I decided I needed to do a real heavy Bible study on the Ten Commandments, because God told me I need to know about the Ten Commandments. And God talks to us in a lot of things. I was studying one day, just really getting into it and reading some books. And matter of fact, I got one of the books that I was looking at the day that this happened. I was reading about the Ten Commandments, and and how to get close to God and everything, and a little voice came into my head and said that I was making too big a deal out of it. And I thought to myself, oh, well, that's the devil coming in trying to get in here and cause me some problems, you know, try to pull me away from God, and I'm not going to let that happen. That little voice said, no, I'm not the devil. What I'm telling you is this. If you keep the first commandment and you keep it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, you don't have to worry about the other commandments because you'll do them. It just comes automatically. I think Joe touched on that earlier. And that has been that right there. For someone who is coming into becoming a new Christian or something like that, that is the freedom that you have. It just, if you truly believe in that first commandment, I shall not have any other gods before me, and anything in our life can become gods. They can, anything that we put all of our attention to and we push God to the side, that can become a god in our life. But if we allow God to work in our lives and to work with the things that he wants us to work with, then you end up being freed. I mean, it's just a freedom that you have. And you don't have to worry about those other commandments because you're going to do them. You will honor your mother and father, you know. I think Joe has something else he wants to say.
You know, I know we're getting close to the end here, and something I want to share with your listeners is,
absolutely,
you know, this may sound like science fiction, but we are actually in a galactic war. And this galactic war has been going on since the beginning of time. But there's going to be a final day when this war comes to an end. And this enemy that we're fighting in this galactic war are these entities that are behind the UFO and alien abduction experience. Their purpose is to deceive us, to take us from our focus on the true God. The reward that they want to achieve out of all of this is our souls. And that's the one thing that God has offered us, is eternal life into the kingdom of God. And that's the one thing that they want to be able to take from us. And that is the whole purpose of this galactic war. The purpose of the deception is to deceive us in thinking that this is not who, that the enemy is not who they really are. It's the facade that they're wearing. When you come to the truth of the living God, Jesus Christ, he takes that mask off these entities. These entities still try to harass the former experiencers now and then, but they can never come back in the guise that they wore before because that mask has been taken off. These former experiencers see these entities for who they really are, and that's just like the vision that I had. God showed me who they really were, and they can never attack me again or harass me again in that guise because I know it's just a guise, and they have to come as their true self, and they're done at that point.
Exactly. Yeah, well, it's stated in Matthew 28:18, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And now he's not stating some or part. He's saying all.
All authority.
Now, all authority. Now that's a very powerful verse there. And it's a verse that I certainly had missed, you know, growing up as a Roman Catholic. And, you know, I just never really took that verse into consideration up until just, you know, recently. But it is a very powerful statement. And, you know, either that person is telling the truth or he's lying. Now, Jesus is the truth based on John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So, you know, it's a 50-50 shot here. And there's really only one shot you have, you know, to get this right. So it's one of the main reasons why we had both of you come on tonight, is because of the testimonies that you've presented. And it's more... It is more than just faith that we're dealing with here. And if people would just seek his kingdom, seek with all their heart, they will find him because he makes that a promise, and God is not a liar.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Joe, we have about 5 minutes left. Just tell the audience where they can reach you, and if there's any other literature that you have out there that they may need to know.
Okay. My website is ce4research.com, and on the website you'll shortly see this show archived on there, and you'll see some of the other shows I've done over the past few months since the Roswell Conference. That Roswell Conference in 2008, we dropped an absolute God bomb on Roswell, and the fallout from that God bomb is spreading through the UFO community. We hit them with a hammer. We shared this evidence. We shared the absolute truth. I had some of the top researchers in the world at this conference to be speaking. I invited them, show me what you got. And they gave everything they had, and I had a chance to share my talk at the end. And I tell you, it absolutely stunned them all because it was evidence that couldn't be denied. And the video from that conference talk is absolutely powerful. It's something that you can take and share with other people. It shows the evidence itself. You'll see Bill right there on stage, along with the other witnesses that are testimonies that came to Roswell, to take a stand and say, talk to me, ask me. I'll show you how I'm different from when I was used to be an experiencer. I am living evidence, and it's the only evidence in the UFO realm. And that video I now have available on the website, and you can come there, and I'd love to be able to send it to you. Because it's something that if you have somebody that's dealing with this, this is a powerful video. We went there taking a final stand, thinking that we would never be able to share this again. It would be our last stand was in Roswell. But actually, it just opened a door like I never expected. And it's given us an opportunity to actually bring this evidence full fold, something that's never been able to happen in the 40 to 50, 60 years of the UFO research that's been going on. It has absolutely stunned the UFO community because it's evidence that stands like nothing they have.
Absolutely incredible. Bill, did you have any last words?
Well, I just want to encourage anyone that is going through this experience, if they need help, there's help out here. We're, you know, the people are here. Joe's here, CE4 Research, alienresistance.org, a whole bunch of good Christian sites out there to help people. Find a good Christian that's knows a little bit about this stuff, and they can help. The number one help is Jesus Christ. Call on the name of Jesus Christ and mean it in your heart, and you can stop this. It's something that's it's powerful. It's beyond comprehension as to how much power there is in the name of Jesus Christ. And I know Joe had said that it's not a magic bullet. No. But if you really, really, truly are at your deepest throes of going through this and a horrible experience and you want it to stop, commit to Jesus Christ and commit to God, and it will stop. I guarantee you, because his word does not return to him void, and just call on him in the name of Jesus Christ, as he says, and he will be there for you. That's about all I can say about that.
That's great. Well, thank you to the both of you. You've been wonderful guests. Thank you for coming on, Christian Net Breakthrough Radio. We are out of time, but we would love to have you back on sometime in the future.
We'd love to.
Yeah.
Well,
if you get willing.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming on, guys.
Thank you, Greg.
Okay. Thank you, Greg.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And we hope you enjoy this segment of Cursed Net Breakthrough Radio. For those of you out there who may have had demonic encounters on any level or may have been abducted, please don't hesitate to contact us by going to the website, thecursednet.com, on any of these issues. Help is out there for you, and we would love to hear from you and possibly have you on a future show where we can listen to what you have to say. Pray for you, and may the Lord Jesus deliver you. I'm Greg Messina. Thanks for listening in.